It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to episode 91 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, a betting preview of this weekend's Premier League Game Week 28. I think we've got about five games to cover in the Premier League this weekend, a bit more than normal. And George, as always, is going to take us round the traps. He's got us going to La Liga, and he's going to take us to beautiful Serie A. I'll introduce George first, our card betting expert. Mate, your results last week, 2 out of 4. So you had a, I think you, if looking at the odds, mate, you ended up slightly on top because you think you had a bigger odds winner compared to the other ones. But more importantly, mate, your card betting masterclass went down superbly. So congratulations.
Oh, cheers, mate. You get some, as long as you got some good feedback on it, but it's nice, you know, just to sort of speak about that and help out where I can, because if you can give someone a little bit of knowledge, then it's worth it, isn't it? So, no, I'm glad it went down well.
Yeah, no, terrific stuff, mate. And welcoming back Nigel Seeley from Premier Sports Plays. It's been a couple of weeks, mate.
Yes, mate, yes. Very busy last week. I was doing a commentary on the football match. I can't remember what game it was last week. What game was it? I can't remember. Chelsea-Liverpool. I did a commentary on Chelsea-Liverpool for American radio, which was quite good. So, yeah, I was busy yet, but won't be here next week. I'm just getting it in now in case everyone thinks I'm not turning up, in case I go 0-3 again.
Well,
nothing to do with that.
I was just going to mention that, mate. It's just very suspicious that you decided to have a little 2-week break just after I'm not going to lie, mate. It was a dismal performance last podcast.
Listen, I got stick. I saw you defending me on, I think it was on YouTube or Twitter, defending me, saying, "Oh, this was his first loss," and you know, blah blah blah. And now we've been on his 42nd. You're digging into me. You're giving it double barrels already. Like, I thought you were your pal.
I'm no, balanced.
Operation on me eye, mate. You know, I need some relaxing time. I need some stuff. So. And then the following week's International Week, and I never do International Week, so the chances are I'm probably going to have another 2 weeks off, I'm afraid. So,
yeah, well, we'll definitely take a break during International Week, and you're both out of action next week, so another long break. But that's all right, fellas, as long as we can get you on every now and then, it's always superb insight. Quiz question for the week. We'll go with a little bit out of the normal box. I've gone with a quiz question of which football player appeared in the World Cup at the age of 43. And we'll get to that answer at the end of the podcast. But firstly, we will cover off the game of the round in the EPL, the North London Derby, Arsenal versus Tottenham. Both these teams are playing as we speak in the Europa League. It's about half time now, and we won't be speaking of those games because we don't want any spoilers, because I would love to go back and watch the rest of the Arsenal game after this. But the problem is Arsenal are in Greece and Tottenham are in London. So you have to factor in a lot of, I guess, the travelling factor here. And Arsenal results have been pretty up and down, but their performances have been generally quite good ever since that Boxing Day win over Chelsea. And Tottenham at home to Dynamo Zagreb at the moment. So, yes, less travelling for them. And they've recently started scoring goals for fun under Mourinho. Who would have thought? 13 goals in their last 4 matches. I can get the odds up on the screen. We have Arsenal at around the 250, 255, 260 mark. Tottenham at 2.8 best odds, 2.85 maybe, or you could 2.9 at matchbook. And the draw around the 3.4, 3.5 mark. Who should I go to first? Anyone got some strong opinions on this clash?
Well, I mean, personally, I think that's a very generous price on Tottenham. To get the win, obviously, no to Arsenal, but as you just obviously mentioned, that Arsenal have got to travel all the way back. You know, Spurs are at home. I was looking at I don't read too much into head to head, but you know, in the last, I think it's 7 head-to-heads, Spurs have scored. Arsenal haven't kept a clean sheet against them, and Spurs haven't lost any of the last 5, is it, or something like that? So,
yeah, I'm surprised too, mate.
And Spurs are coming into some good form, and I just feel lately with the derbies, you know, Spurs have, I know you're an Arsenal fan, mate, but you can't deny that Spurs have probably been the best side in North London for the past, what, 3-4 years. I know you've won like the odd FA Cup, but overall, Spurs have been probably the better team. So yeah, I don't understand that price. I think you're going to see that go off a lot shorter come kickoff.
Yeah, no, I'm very surprised. I was surprised. I thought Tottenham would be favourite. I mean, I understand that Arsenal are at home, but I mean, there's not much home advantage nowadays. And if you look at their records together lately, yeah, Tottenham have been the more dominant side, especially under Mourinho. I'm not sure if Arteta's beat Mourinho yet. I don't think so. And yeah, I mean, it just seems like a matchup that Arsenal haven't been able to perform at their best yet. Mourinho's more than happy just to let Arsenal have a crack and then hit them on the counter with their big guns, Son and Kane, and now you can add Bale to that. So, and then you add on top of that the fact that they're coming from Greece and Tottenham are staying in nice, cozy London. So, yeah, I was very surprised by the odds. I would assume that this is data-driven, would you say, Nigel?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Arsenal, they've been creating a lot of chances, haven't they, in the last few weeks? You said they've been improving. But I think the other thing as well is that, you know, we're not going to tell you the scores, how it's going or anything like that, but there's a more of a chance that the tie between Olympiacos and Arsenal will be up for grabs more than the tie at Tottenham. You know, I'm not going to say the score or anything, I'm just saying that before the ball was kicked, you would think that Tottenham would have an easier chance. So the tie would be over. So that you have to take that into effect. Knowing you're travelling, you have to take in the fact how the tie is positioned. So I can understand where you think that is. I mean, I look at Tottenham and I feel as though Tottenham, since they've got Bale, and Bale's been brilliant the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes.
I mean, every time he's got the ball, he's looked like doing something special. And he looks hungry and he looks like a sort of a getting to close to that player that he was at the first round at Tottenham. I thought he was superb the last 2 weeks. And it's as though, like Mourinho said, well, just taking the shackles off and go, go on, you know, just go and play. You know, and they play with a lot more freedom at the moment, Tottenham, going forward. And I think with the way this sets up, both sides would look at it. Well, Arsenal pretty much know they're not going to get any European football for their league position, are they? So it's like it could be a real, real entertaining end-to-end game because both of them are going to prioritise on the Europa League. So I think it could be... I saw this morning it was 1.9 over 2.5 goals, which I thought was a big price. I think it's been bet into about 1.85 now, something like that, so 5-6. Just looking at the way the two match up and the chances they both create, and with a front three of Son, Kane and Bale going up against the Arsenal defence, and with Aubameyang and the attacking flair that Arsenal have in a game that both of them really just have got bigger fish to fry in Europe, I think they could all go out for a little bit of a sort of a high scoring game. So yeah, I do think that Tottenham probably deserve to be favourites in this game, but I think if you're a neutral and you want to have a bet, I definitely think over 2.5 goals would be a play for me at 1.9 or something like that. I think that's too big, 1.9.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with Simon on that, but I'd be tempted to sort of say, you know, because the market, for example, we had it on Juventus Lazio, and I quite like it for this one as well, is over 2.5, but both teams scoring as well. You know, both teams have scored in, I think, 5 of Arsenal's last 6 games, and there's been more than 2.5 goals in something like 7 of Spurs' last 8, something like that. And I don't know, with these kind of North London derbies, it often tends to be the way. So, but I think over 2.5 is a solid shout. And I think potentially both teams to score, as you said, Arsenal have been creating a host of chances. And Spurs are occasionally lapsed at the back still. But with that, you know, as you've just mentioned before, with that forward line that Spurs have, they're going to get on the score sheet, I think.
I looked at the both teams to score, though, George, in this market. And both teams to score is 1.66. And over 2.5 is 1.9. Yeah. So I thought, you know what, for the extra goal,
yeah,
you might as well go for the 1.9. I thought that the overs would be a little bit shorter than what they actually are.
And
the only problem is that there've been so many unders in the Premier League this season, and if both of them have a chance in the Europa League, they may just sort of play out a dull game. So it's only a lean. I think it's got some kind of lean towards it. But just given the history, given the nature of it, you know, and the way they both are in the league table, you could go one or two ways, I thought, this game. I think they could really go for it, and it can end in an entertaining 2-2 or 3-2 win, or it could just be a non-event and be a 0-0 draw, both of them going all at it next Thursday night in the Europa League.
Yeah.
There are a few places where you can get 1.98, actually, Nigel, for over 2.5 at Matchbook and at Marathon, just looking at the Trademate Sports Game Centre.
I can make cases for over and under, though, Alex, you know, to see, like I said there, you can make it. It's only like, you know, you bought the game up and it was just like a lean. I probably wouldn't bet anything. I wouldn't have one bet on this game until I found out exactly what had happened tonight. Seeing out, you know, if Tottenham went 4-0, 5-0, then it's advantage Tottenham. If the Arsenal game is a draw, or Arsenal come back with a narrow win, or Olympiacos back a narrow win, then it's definitely advantage. And I want to know the position, what they go into in the Europa League, because that's the important factor, how their mind is set for that game on the Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, Kane could go down with an injury in a couple of minutes. Anything can happen. So, yeah, no, great insight, fellas. So, yeah, we just like to, I guess, get a little bit of insight on what we perceive as the game of the round in the EPL. It doesn't need to be anything massive in terms of betting plays, but good to get some background on what we think. So let's move on, Nigel, mate. Since you've had a rest, mate, why don't we get you going nice and early?
Okay.
Newcastle and Aston Villa, mate. You've got something here that you are enjoying.
Well, I touched on it there. I mean, last weekend in the Premier League, I mean, I might as well just paint that wall there and just sit watching it. Some of the games were just, they were dreadful, weren't they? And the worst game of football I've seen for probably this season for a long, long time was Wolves against Aston Villa. I mean,
it was
absolutely terrible. After 5 minutes, you knew it was going to be 0-0. You know, it was just such one of the worst games I've seen in the Premier League. And I feel that the Premier League this weekend, we're going to get a lot of unders again, as we've seen the trend in the recent weeks. I do sort of mention it quite a bit, but it's going to be quite wet and windy across England in this weekend, which a lot of people don't actually factor in. But I work back in the day, I worked for an Italian bookmaker. And the guy was a huge punter. The first, when the Asian betting market first come out in around about 1994-93, that kind of era, and this guy was just huge, and all he wanted to know was the weather forecast. It was like the most important thing, and he was a multi millionaire over the time. But some people joke about the weather forecast, but I think the wind is a huge factor. There's going to be very, very high winds, especially in the lower levels of England, League One, League Two, playing with high winds. I think that will affect some of the unders. But regardless of the weather, I think that's one point. The second thing is these two sides are dreadful. You know, Newcastle, their goal XG is absolutely useless. Aston Villa without Jack Grealish have just really not created as many chances. Newcastle without Callum Wilson, they're without Almiron, who's got all the legs for them, and they're out some maximum as well. So you take those three teams out, players out of that Newcastle side, where are they going to score the goals from? They're not going to score the goals from. That's the problem. When they played at West Brom at the weekend, it was 0-0 again. Villa drew 0-0 at the weekend. And the top goal scorer in the start 11 was Hendricks, who got two goals. So that's the problem Newcastle has. Also, Newcastle know that they're in a relegation battle now after what Fulham have done. And Steve Bruce will go into a game like this thinking, let's just not get beat. He'll be looking to draw games 0-0. He knows he can't score goals, so the only way he can do is defend. And then they'll try to get a game when they can win a game. If you look at their record without Sam Maxim in the Premier League this season, it's shocking. He doesn't score goals, but he's really influential to them. And without him, they never win. And Aston Villa have got a pretty poor record without Jack Grealish. Without the creativity of Jack Grealish, I can't see where they're going to score. I know Ollie Watkins can score goals and Al Hamadi and all this, but I think Grealish is obviously their main man. And given that, they've got one of the best defences in the Premier League. They've got, in my opinion, definitely the best goalkeeper in the Premier League in the last half of the season. Or from what I've seen, you know, I wouldn't say he's the best goalkeeper, but he's been a revelation since he's gone to Aston Villa. And they're very, very hard to break down. A lot of teams will find it really hard. The unders have gone in pretty much all of Villa's recent games, four of the last five. Newcastle, you know, without those three players. And you can get 4-5, which is 1.8 under 2.5 goals, which I was expecting, given the amount of unders we've had in the Premier League. I thought this game would probably be around about 1.66, 1.7. They've both got very low goal XGs. And they're without both sides are without their most creative players. So it's a no-brainer for me, under 2.5 goals tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm just getting up the odds here, courtesy of Trey. It's actually a value bet right now, mate. So you've picked that nicely, under 2.5 goals. At BetChris and SBO Bet, if you've got access to them. But yeah, I'm just looking at Pinnacle now, and they're already at 1.72. So yeah, there's a couple places now that you can snap up some value, so you wouldn't go lower than 1.8, Nigel.
Well, I backed it at 1.81 this morning with for Betfair, on the fixed odds it was about 1.75, and I thought 1.75 was a bet. Anything under that, I probably wouldn't bet it, but 1.75 would probably be the lowest I would go. But just the way that Newcastle are under Bruce, and now that he's got his back against the wall, and now the fear factor of Newcastle to get relegated is just so much. He won't risk anything. You know, he would rather get 10 nil-nil draws from now to the end of the season to get 10 points rather than win a game 4-0. It's just the way he is set up as a manager. I think it's a cracking bet. And without Grealish, obviously, you know, and they also got cash back as well, Villa. They're cash back. Let's see. Cash is returning for Villa in defence, which shores up their defence and makes them harder to break down as well. So, I think Villa have been really, really impressed me as a defensive unit this season. And just can't see any goals. 1.75, the lowest I'll go for that, though.
Yeah. Well, you can get 1.75 in quite a few places, as you can see from Odds Checker right there. Brilliant, mate. We're going to stay in the Premier League, and we'll go over to you, George. You have some insight on Southampton versus Brighton.
Yeah, I do indeed. I was kind of looking at this one. I mean, when you look at the records in terms of cards that they've got lately, and it's not exactly inspiring. But so, for example, Southampton, they're only averaging around 1.54 cards per game at home this season. And in that time, you know, the opposition in those games has seen 2+ in 5 out of those 7. Sorry, that's against teams in the bottom 5. You know, they're unbeaten and scored in their last 9 against Brighton. But they also make the most tackles at home per game than any other side in the league. They make around 20.2 tackles per game, which is an awful lot. And there's been a lot said about Brighton lately, you know, how they've broken the XG model. I mean, if you look at their XG, they should be battling out for a place in next season's Champions League. But lo and behold, they're actually sort of fighting to make sure they don't get dragged into a relegation battle. But they're only averaging 0.85 cards per game away from home, so under 1. They've only seen 2 or more in 2 out of 6 away games against sides in the bottom half. And in that time, the opposition has seen 2 or more in 3 out of those 6. But yeah, they've got no wins in their last 6 and no clean sheet in their last 3, sorry. But you look at the game that happened in the reverse fixture with Southampton, there were 60 booking points. And just with the way that Brighton play, because all Brighton are missing is a finisher, a natural finisher, someone who can put the ball in the back of the net and you see them fly at the table. Because, you know, they do play some really good expansive football. You know, they're effective, they create chances, but that's what they're missing. And I think they're going to dominate the ball against Southampton. I think they're still going to play well, they're still going to do well. And Southampton, you'll see a high line for their tackles as well. I was actually looking at them to have 19 or more tackles, but the price just wasn't there. It's been kind of hammered in. The bet I was looking for is Brighton to see two. I'm looking for Brighton to see 2 or more cards, because I think Southampton are very good at stealing the ball quickly off the opposition. You look at them during the game against Man City. I mean, yeah, Man City are bottom of the discipline table this season. They don't commit many card-worthy challenges, but the way that Southampton pressed them and won the ball back quickly off them to try and get on that counter, to try and quickly press and break towards goal. I see Brighton, particularly with the likes of Lewis Dunk at the back, I can see Brighton getting at least a couple of bookings. And the referee, Stuart Atwell, now he's got the highest cards per game average than any ref in the Premier League. It's about 4.19 cards per game. And that wouldn't look out of place in La Liga or Serie A. He's awarding on average 22.8 free kicks per game as well. And I just think the way Southampton press and win that ball back so quickly with that high tackle line, you know, Brighton are going to be caught off guard more than once. And I don't think Stuart Atwell is going to let anything go. He's just not that sort of ref. Early doors he might do, but he's going to pick them off. So I'm expecting the second half Brighton to pick up a couple. So the better that I'm going with is I really like Brighton to see two or more cards and there to be under four goals in the game, because these two, just similar to what Nigel was saying with Newcastle and Villa earlier, that these two don't see that many goals whatsoever. I mean, I was again looking at the sort of stats beforehand. In the last six out of eight meetings between the pair, there's been under 2.5 goals. So I'm just looking at this one. I don't see any way that there's four goals in this game. And I see Brighton picking up 2+ cards, and that's at 11 to 10. And personally, I think it should be closer to 5 to 6 or closer to 1.83 personally. So I think that's overpriced. And I think that price will drop as we get closer to kickoff. But yeah, so for me, my best bet for the Southampton-Brighton game is Brighton to see two cards and there to be under four goals in the game.
Yeah, and 11 to 10 would be 2.1, I believe. Yeah. So
I think it's majorly wrong in the price, personally.
All right, awesome, mate. Love the strong opinion. Let's move on back to Nigel. Staying in the Premier League once again, Manchester United versus West Ham.
I give West Ham a chance here. I really do. Because of what we've seen tonight. I fancy West Ham anyway, but I think that Manchester United now have got a huge match in Milan on Thursday night in the Europa League after the
draw. How did the Manchester United game finish up?
It finished 1-1, but they conceded in the 92nd minute. So they were 1-0 up and cruising and they let the goal in. And now the tie is massively, massively on.
And that's an away goal.
It's an away goal, yeah. And they've got to go to Milan on Thursday. And yeah. I think now, I gave West Ham a chance before that match. You know, West Ham is... I thought West Ham have been absolutely brilliant. I thought they played really, really well against Leeds last time out. Prior to that, they gave Man City a proper good game. You know, I know Man City got beat by Manchester United, but West Ham were brilliant. Antonio's fit. No doubt whether he was fit. That midfield of Suchek and Declan Rice is Suchek's probably been one of the best players in the Premier League this season. Defensively, they look solid. Craig Dawson is a great signing as well from set pieces. They're a massive danger from set pieces, West Ham. Creswell from set pieces is deadly. And I think Man United could be gettable here. Prior to the Man City game, they drew 1-1 tonight. Prior to the Man City game, they played three games where he never scored. They obviously got beaten earlier in the season at home by Crystal Palace. They got beaten at home in the season by they got beaten by Sheffield United. And if you look at West Ham, that they only ever lose now to the big guys. And I know I'm not sort of enhancing my argument here, but they only have lost this season to Liverpool, Man United in the league and the cup. But that was after extra time, and they lost to Chelsea as well.
You know, they beat Tottenham if you count them.
But they only lose to the big side. Years ago, West Ham would be a side that would get beat by Burnley or they'd get beat by Southampton. They're not like that anymore. They're no easy target. West Ham are a proper football team, probably the most improved football team. If you looked at people's ratings of football teams at the start of the season to where they are now, West Ham will probably be the biggest movers on the season. They're rightly in their position. They're rightly where they are. And if you look for them player for player, they're a bloody good team. And they won't fear going to Man United. And I feel that Manchester United seem to raise their game against the big boys and then just think... I don't know what it is. I don't know whether they sort of believe that they can just turn up and beat the sides. And if they take any complacency to West Ham, I don't buy that. They've only won one in their last five home matches, Man United as well. And West Ham, their away form is fantastic. And the match against Man City, I thought they're exceptional. And given tonight's game, that now that game against Milan is a huge, huge game. Solskjaer's got a lot of injuries. There's no Rashford. You know, he's got to chop and change a few players around. He's very heavily reliant on Fernandes for goals, who can go missing in games. However great he is, and he's a great player, he's scored an awful lot of penalties, but he can go missing in games. And I feel in that midfield role, he could get out-muscled. Out-muscled by Suchek, out-muscled by Declan Rice, because they're a very big side. And I like West Ham here on the Asian handicap plus a half. Obviously, we're effectively laying Manchester United, so we're saying that Man United are worth taking on. And you could get around about, I saw today, it was about 2.2. I don't know if it's still that price. Let's have a look what price it is now.
So you're saying West Ham plus a half?
Yeah. So it's now around 2.05, is it? West Ham.
Yeah, you can get 2. I'll just get up on my screen here. You can get 2.07 at Dafabet and SBO, but they're the Asians, I guess. And then you got 2.04 a lot of places, 2.05 at BetVictor.
Well, you might be better off to lay West Ham on the exchange if you're able to lay West Ham, because I think West Ham on the exchanges or something. Sorry, Man United on the exchanges. I think Man United around about 1.91. So if you're laying 1.91, you're getting 2.09 on that market. So if you can lay Manchester United, I think Man United are worth taking on this week, and that's the cut and chase of it. I think that I think they'll get turned over for second place. I think Chelsea will overtake them for second place, and I feel that Manchester United are probably not as good as everyone the league position makes them out, and I think the scoreline against Manchester City. Yeah. Flattered them a little bit, and I think they're vulnerable against sides who they think they could just turn up and beat. And I think West Ham are nowhere near an easy target at the moment.
I couldn't agree more. Like, if you look at, especially when you look at that, a couple of things really. That A, the Manchester derby. Yes, I know I'm biased, I support City, but look at it objectively. You know, United played very well. They did exactly what they needed to do. But they still conceded 23 shots on goal. They were just very lucky that City couldn't hit a barn door with a machine gun that day. And also, if you look at the number of points that obviously United have got in seasons gone by, that total's only good enough to get them around fifth or sixth. So I think, if anything, it's just the way people are saying how much they've improved. Yes, they have, but I think it's been overdone somewhat in that it's more so, I think, other teams have kind of just regressed and not playing as well, whereas United have just been consistent as who they are and as what they've been. So it looks like they're doing much better than what they actually are. I mean, that's kind of my opinion. There's no doubt in the quality there, but I think the market as well overestimates them at times.
Well, I think the thing is with it is that people will look at Man United and see 5-6 and think, I think you'll attract the public money. Because people see Man United 5-6 at home against West Ham and think, oh, they'll beat them. And I think it's a price that the public money will come in. But I think that so when you break this game down, and I think that I definitely believe that late goal for AC Milan has really meant that time. And it's whether Solskjaer is prioritising the league over the cup. You look at Arsenal, they're prioritising the cup. That's it. The Europa League is what they're prioritising. Does Solskjaer think, well, you know what, we can still come second, we can still get a top four. But if Man United play like they have in the league, they can suddenly slip out of the top four. And I think it's a dangerous thing to do. But I do believe that West Ham are very, very undervalued as a football side. I think if you look at them player for player, I think they're quality side. And they're big. They're very, very big side. They can out-muscle Man United. Fernandes could be just steamrolled.
Well, Suchek's turned into David Moyes' Fellaini, isn't he? The one that he had at Everton. Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of role that Suchek's been playing. I'd agree with that.
And lowest odds you take there, Nigel?
Not much more than that. I mean, they were 2.15, I think, today, 2.1. I'd lay Man United anything around about 1.9, 1.91. So you're effectively betting West Ham and the draw around about 2.08, 2.07, something like that. 2.72, anything around that. Anything above 2.05, anything even money, I'm effectively becoming the bookmaker and people are betting Man United with me at even money. And I wouldn't want to lay Man United at even money. But if someone wanted to bet Man United at 5-6 or 1.85 or 1.9, I'm happy to take the odds on Man United and get odds against with the draw and West Ham.
Yeah, well, you can get 2.05 in a lot of places, so hopefully people can snap that up by the time this comes out. George, mate, we'll head over to Spain, mate. Getafe versus Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, so look at this one. I mean, you know what I'm like? I absolutely love Getafe for cards, but unfortunately, obviously, you know, it doesn't take long for kind of people to cotton on and bookies to cotton on when they're such high numbers. So I couldn't really find any value in terms of the card markets, but there is a bet I really like within this one. And again, I think it is overpriced, but at least it was this morning when I took it. So yeah, Getafe at home to Atletico Madrid, and I'm going for Atletico to get the win simply because Getafe are coming into an even just a horrendous run of form right at the wrong time. You know, last season they were pushing, I think, for Champions League spots, and now they're looking more like they're in danger of being relegated. Yeah, they've just been awful. They've conceded first in five of their last six, and again, like with head-to-heads, sometimes there's things that you just can't ignore. Like, I don't want to put too much credence on it, but Getafe haven't scored against Atletico in their last 19 attempts, and it's just ridiculous. They're just awful against Atletico. It's kind of, they are a bogey side, if you like. You know, again, whereas Atletico, look at them just this season. In the 13 games they've played against teams in the lower half this season, they've won 10 of them. You know, obviously, I know they recently had that doubleheader against Levante and drew one and lost, but they were largely unlucky in those games as well. But just the state of Getafe at the moment, I just don't see them getting a result against Atletico. You know, they've collected, I think, 4 points from the last 24 available. Yeah, so they are looking like relegation candidates. It just doesn't look like, I don't think there's any way that that changes here and that they can kind of get that springboard to save themselves. Just certainly not against Atletico Madrid. You know, they're on the verge of potentially getting their 11th top flight title. Suarez is in good form. But also it's the price for this one that made me really like it, in that Atletico Madrid were evens to go away and win this game, which I didn't quite get because I have them closer at 4-5, so around 1.8 rather than 2. So again, I'm not sure, 100% sure what the prices are now. But yeah, when I looked at it this morning, and the price that I took was Atletico Madrid to win away at Getafe at evens. And I think you'll find that price drops as well just before kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, I can see a lot of Asian money coming in on odds checking now for Atletico. They are, you still get twos on the exchanges, which is nice. I'll have a look at, I haven't even got it up on TradeMate, but I can have a quick look and see if I can see if there's anything better.
Because that's you know, longer odds than were there this morning. So obviously money, as you said, money's already coming in for it. Because it definitely shouldn't have been evens this morning.
Yeah, you get 205. I've got no idea where that is. Superbet. I mean, if anyone bets with Superbet, there you go. But I mean, there's multiple places where you can get twos or higher. So, yeah, it looks widely available, especially on the exchanges, which will probably be the most popular place for people listening. Yeah. So, all right.
So, that's why, like I said, I think that'll be going off a lot shorter come kickoff. And yeah, I just don't see how Getafe pick up any kind of result against Atletico. They're absolutely abysmal. If you've watched any of their games lately, it's just no direction. They're just awful. That's the only way I can describe it. Where, you know, Atletico, there's no way Getafe are going to stop the likes of Suarez and those kind of players just running riot. It's just, I don't see how it happens. They might frustrate them for a bit, but Atletico will get the win.
I looked at that game today, George, and I was agreeing with you, but my own, and I looked at Atletico Madrid to win to nil. And the only thing that put me off, which was a slight problem, I know the money's come from as well, is that Atletico Madrid play Chelsea on Tuesday night in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was my only concern of this game. I thought, yeah, and I could see why they were priced up at probably the price they are, because there is that, obviously, that the bookmaker's philosophy is that when teams obviously play in the Champions League the week before, especially big games like that, and it's so finely poised, that match. And I think whoever wins that game will think they could possibly go on and potentially win the Champions League. You think there's only probably Man City or Bayern Munich could probably win it. So that would be my only slight reservation.
See, I did think that, but my thinking is, you know, the way that Real Madrid and Barca are at the moment, Atletico will do anything to win that La Liga title back. They'll do anything to win that. And whilst I think, you know, in terms of priorities, they're more likely to win La Liga at the moment than they are champion. I'm not saying that they won't, but at the moment, winning that La Liga title, I think, is kind of their priority. So again, it's my personal opinion, but I think they're going to be focusing on getting those points. Those are probably 3 points that are available to them that they should be getting relatively easily and take another step towards that title and then worry about Chelsea. I think they're going to go full strength in this one and be worrying about this one. So that was kind of my thought process on it.
No, right. I agree. That's probably the why they were the price they are. That's what I thought.
No, I agree. You know, agreed.
I hate betting teams weeks before big Champions League final or semi-finals. Just don't like it.
Yeah. But it's probably a similar story to Manchester United. Like, you think they will probably put the league in front of European. Although, you know, it's great to win a Europa League. It's great to win the Champions League. Like, if you've got a chance there to win the La Liga.
I think the difference is with Man City, though, in the Premier League, is that they've got a bigger squad.
Sorry, I was talking about United.
Oh, they're not in the Champions League. Alex, George will line up. But with Man City, the trouble is, if it was like the trouble with Atletico Madrid, is that they're by Spanish and by European big club standards, they've got a very small squad, and they're heavily reliant on Suarez. And if they rest Suarez or put him on the bench, then that price will drift substantially. Now, you can bring him on and he'll probably score and they'll win 1-0. But that, you know, that's the difference between a team like a Bayern Munich or a Manchester City who can rest players in these kind of games. I agree with George completely. I think they're probably value, but that was the only reason I was slightly worried about.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
All right, love it, gents. Nigel, back to you, mate. Crystal Palace versus West Brom. I mean, mate, it's bad enough when you go to League Two. This is probably, you know, this is right up there in terms of going to just a disgusting match.
You can win matches ugly, can't you?
It is the weirdest thing to see Crystal Palace, just looking at them from a betting perspective here, Crystal Palace with the number 2 as their odds. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Crystal Palace go into a game favourite.
Well, not for a long time. And if you look at the goal XG, in their last 15 Premier League matches, only one game, their expected goals was more than one. so that shows you how bad they are. Already next season, they're the side that you're looking at already, aren't you? Thinking they're going to get relegated next season.
Yeah.
How they haven't been sucked into a relegation battle at the moment, I do not know. But they're playing West Brom. West Brom come to town. Sam Allardyce goes back to his former club. And again, it's not a surprise to me that I'm going to be anti-goals in this game. Crystal Palace at home in their last three games. They haven't scored a game. They haven't scored a goal. 0-0 against Man United. 0-0 against Fulham. 0-3 against Burnley. West Brom slightly improving in recent weeks, but it's too little too late, really. Their last six matches have all gone under 2.5 goals. Their last five matches have gone under 1.5 goals. Their last four games, two of them being 1-0, and the other two have been 0-0. Both sides coming on the back of a 0-0 draw in their last matches. You know, Crystal Palace last home game was a 0-0, like I say, back-to-back home 0 games. Obviously, if you look at this, you're going to look under 2.5 goals. But under 2.5 goals is very short. It's like 1.62. So my way of getting against goals and still sort of side with the unders is to take both teams to score as a no here. Because I feel that one goal will be enough to win it. Probably towards West Brom. I think West Brom have got much more of a need to win. And obviously, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, need to win. But the fact the data backs out as well, the Palace do not score, do not create chances. So in a better value for money way to get against goals, instead of betting under 2.5 goals, I'm betting both teams to score as a no, which is 1.86. So 1.86, you can get both teams to score no, or 1.62. When you consider the last five matches that West Brom have played, both teams have been scored for as a no. I'm amazed that money for yes in that market. I'm amazed that that's going. I know Sahar's back for Palace, which obviously helps them a lot. But I think one goal in this game against two very, very low scoring sides. The XG for both sides is very, very low. And going against in my theme of low scoring games in the Premier League. So, yeah, I'm going to go no in this game at 1.86.
Yeah. All right. Awesome, mate. You can get 1.85 for Paddy Power too. So hopefully that hangs around for us all. Last game, George, mate, you're going to take us to a place that I would say we finish regularly on the podcast. You're taking us to Italy.
Yeah, again, it's my favourite place. But so this one is Lazio playing host to Crotone. It's an interesting one, this one, because, you know, Lazio started off This one within, I think it was an unbeaten 7-game start to the year, and were, you know, looking in good form in that chase for Europe. But they've gone off the boil since, and they've lost 3 of their last 4 league games. But to be fair, I think slightly too much has been made of that, considering, you know, those three losses came against top 3 sides. So, you know, they're very good teams. But I was looking at this one. Lazio have seen, they're averaging 3.5 cards per game at home this season. They're the second most ill-disciplined side in Serie A. When they've been playing teams that are currently in the bottom 5, they've seen 2 or more cards in 4 out of 6. But in the 2 that they didn't, they were both played away. They've seen the majority of their cards at home. The opposition in those games as well has seen 2+ in 5 out of 6. But like I said, yeah, they've lost their last 3, but I think they're going to bounce back here. Crotone, slap bang bottom of the league, is looking like survival is probably a bit of a stretch for them. To be truth be told, the quality is just not there. They're very inconsistent, and just looking at them, you know, I think they're the only side without an away win in the Serie A this season. And they're definitely not gonna get it here. But they are the 4th most fouled team per game in Serie A. So, you know, they do draw a lot of fouls from their opponents, and obviously they're going away to a side that see a ridiculous amount of cards at home. But yeah, they've conceded 1st in 7 of their last 8 games. They've not had a clean sheet in any of their last 14 matches. And there's been more than 2.5 goals in 9 out of their last 10 matches as well. But the bet I'm going for is Lazio to score 2 goals, and Lazio to see 2+ cards as well. And that's at 10 to 11. Again, I need to get hung of trying to convert fractional odds into decimals, because what are you doing that as a decimal? Go on, Nigel, you're usually good with this. What is it?
What was the price?
He was asleep, mate.
I had to mute.
Oh, so can you not hear George when I put you on mute?
No, I couldn't hear nothing.
Oh, fuck off. You're lying.
Oh, you missed it.
Listen, go on. What was the odds?
10 to 11.
It's 1.91.
There you go. 1.91. We'll go with that. But, yeah, I still think that's far too short. You know, that's landed in Crotone's last 4 of their last 5 away games. Their opposition has scored 2 goals and seen 2 or more cards. And with Lazio, you know, Crotone is just awful defensively. Lazio are going to create chances. They're going to get a win here by at least 2 clear goals. And they're going to pick up cards. But, you know, Crotone, they are fouled a lot regardless of who they play. They've played the likes of Juventus, you know, all the big sides, Inter, and they've drawn cards from them. And with Lazio being so ill-disciplined, there's no way that they're getting away from this one without bookings, particularly when the ref is Antonio Rapuano. Top marks of pronunciation there, I know. And he's averaging around 5.5 cards per game this season, and awarding 32 free kicks per game on average. So I think he's going to be blowing his whistle quite a lot. At least 2 Lazio players are going into his book. And Lazio, they're going to score goals as well. So yeah, Lazio 2+ goals and 2+ cards at 1.91, according to Nigel.
Thank you, Nigel. Sorry, I have to mute you sometimes, Nigel, because I don't know what you do when George talks. There's just so much rustling. There's just a lot of rustling going on, and I can't hear you. I actually can't.
I'm
hear
joking.
You.
I'm white. I got you.
Oh, how did you not see that one coming?
Oh, I got in there. Lovely,
jubbly. Oh, fuck. That's so embarrassing. Oh,
you've fallen for the oldest trick in the book.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But I mean, what do you do while George talks? Because there's just so much noise.
I just write down so I can do the opposite.
I'll tell you what, that's what I did when Nigel went 0-3 and I made a killing.
listen.
No, here we go.
Rarity, it's a very rarity. Listen, put me on mute again, Alex.
Well, mate, before I put you on mute, why don't you give us your best bet of the weekend, eh?
Gonna have to go for the under 2.5 goals in the Villa Newcastle game tomorrow. Newcastle Villa. About those 3 players for Newcastle in a relegation battle. Villa without Grealish, and I forgot to say that the last 10 matches in this fixture have all got under as well as the game earlier in the season, which was 2-0. I think gotta be under. So.
Cool. And George.
Well, it's between the Atletico win and the Lazio one, but I'm going to go with the Lazio to score 2 or more goals and see 2 or more cards as well.
All right. Beautiful, gents. You can find these men on Twitter at cgeorgegamble and Seely_Nigel. Check out George's new YouTube channel, which is called George Gamble, and head over to premiersportsplayers.com to check out Nigel's lovely little website he has there with all his tips from all around the world, tennis, golf. He's got a big night ahead of him if one of his, 80-1 shot gets up.
He's won. He's going to win it, mate. He's 100 on now. One time, 101.
We'll never see Nigel again.
Nice
probably.
To see you both, boys.
it's been great.
Unfortunately, you will, because I can't travel nowhere until whenever the government lets me out. But the minute I do, adios amigos.
Maybe you can come over to Australia, mate. We can do a little live.
No. I don't know. Let me.
Oh, actually, sorry, Latvia.
We're all on a trip to Riga.
That's the Brave Mate Sports Christmas party next year, Latvia, isn't it? Surely, come on.
Yeah, I mean, they sponsor us. The Latvian government sponsors us by now. We've never given them, they never got so much publicity as they have on this show. quiz question. Which football player appeared in the World Cup at the age of 43? Anyone got any ideas here?
Roger Miller.
Oh, well, you might be correct, but that's not the guy that I've got down here.
Roger Miller played for the Cameroon. He was 43 in the 1990 World Cup.
Did his paperwork say he was 19, though?
Yeah, well, he think he was 43, but he was really 53.
I mean, I've not got a clue. I know there's that Japanese bloke who's about 50 and he's still playing, but I couldn't tell you. I've not got a clue for this one.
I'm looking at Roger Miller here. I'm trying to see when he played in the World Cup.
1990
sure
World Cup, he played.
1990?
Yeah, he played against England in the quarterfinal for the Cameroon.
Here we go. So he played 1994, actually.
1990, and he played in the 1990 World Cup.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't, mate, but he also played the 94 World Cup.
Yeah.
So and he was at then? The age, sorry?
How old was he then?
He was 42, mate. So
42. Oh,
I don't know if you know, but there's a difference between 42 and 43. So has anyone got an answer for me at 43? He's a goalkeeper and he's from South
Nino's
America.
He knows off.
I was thinking, it's not. I mean, it's not Dida, it's not Higuita.
No.
The guy from Colombia who done that? No, is it not Higuita?
Yes. No. Yeah, he's from Colombia, Colombian keeper.
Mulder something. What was his name?
Yeah.
He played against England when Beckham came on and Stephen and Michael Owen scored. Mulder something.
Yeah, Mondragon or Mondragon or fuck, something like that.
I don't think you can have that one, Nigel. I don't think Mulder something really constitutes as an answer, does it?
He muted me for the rest of it.
Here he is, giving the thumbs up for anyone interested. That was an entertaining quiz question. I mean, most of the time they're quite boring, but at least this one was very entertaining. So, yeah. Well done, Nigel. I'll give you the points there, mate. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, he played in goal in the 1998 World Cup game where England played Colombia and Glenn Hoddle brought on David Beckham and Michael Owen to introduce him to World Cup football. And they won 2-0. Darren Anderton scored. That's my era.
There you go.
Can't remember his name. Mould or something.
The dragon.
That's him.
Oh. All right. Brilliant, mate. There's benefits to being very old, mate. So there you go. Well done.
Yeah, very old. Very old. Got to go now to get very rich. Watch his gold.
Love it, mate. It'll be a good night for Nigel, but it'll also be a great night for me on Sunday night for anyone looking to tune into the, it's not really a podcast, but the next feature on our channel. So Sunday streams. We're back. I don't know if you guys tuned in on last Sunday, but it was a massive hit. And this week I am going live with the Parry Match Chief Marketing Officer. So that'll be very interesting for anyone wanting to tune in and ask him some questions or just watch me talk to him. So tune in Sunday at I think it's 8 o'clock UK time and 9 o'clock Central European time, and that's at night time, so in the evening. So tune in for that. But other than that, thanks for listening, everyone. Do a quick rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen to our podcast. And always, if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talked about today, start a free-week trial with TradeMate Sports and start your value betting journey. Gentlemen, terrific stuff as always. Won't see you for a couple of weeks, which will be which is very unfortunate, very, very sad. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks ready and firing, mate. And Nigel, hopefully you have a better time around this time, eh?
I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. You worry about yourself. Don't you worry about me.
All right. See you guys.